Isaiah 61. When the transition team, we've been thinking about what the vision was. And interestingly, we started with the blessing from the Father's heart. And then actually, as we've done this series, we've flipped it on its head. And actually, we started with the Father's blessing from the Father's heart, intrinsically linked with the Spirit's power. And then we thought about other aspects of our ministry and then what it was like to be together in the church. And then finishing that we're going to go out in the Spirit's power. And actually, we flipped it on its head. And I hope you'll see this morning that everything is intrinsically linked. John and I came to this passage, especially the first three verses. And I'd just like to share some of the questions that I've had looking at this, some of the questions that have then led to some thoughts and how I feel God's been speaking to me about it. So shall we start at the start? You might find it helpful just to have Isaiah 61 open in front of you. So the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Remember Jamie all those weeks ago talking about how in the Old Testament the Spirit of the Lord came onto people for a particular time, a particular purpose. That's obviously different to our story now, but for in this moment, a prophecy about the Messiah full of the Lord's blessing. And as John said when he came to read in Luke 4, Jesus says these very words at the start of his ministry. And he was in the power of the Spirit because the Spirit and Jesus are one. And he read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." So he was anointed for a purpose. And then there was action. Jesus went and did a whole lot of something. I just want to hold on to that thought. As I've been reading, I feel like there's just a fullness of blessing on us to hear and see and receive this morning. And then there's this aspect of having received this blessing, what that means and how we overflow that to others. And so I just want to pray just in this moment. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you see? Help us see. Show us the blessings that you have for each and every one of us this morning. Lord, would you seal those ones that we need to hear afresh in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives this morning? Open our eyes. Open our ears. Open our hearts. In Jesus' name. And just imagine that Jesus is speaking this, these very words to us. Do you remember the picture of the pots and pans we talked about in togetherness last week? The whole load of different jars and cups and vessels, and they're all different in the washing up bowl. And the tap was on and those vessels were all being filled. Well, that's the thought of what verses are, I feel. So in verse 1, it talks about good news, the loving, saving heart of God. Do you know, I think John's right, we could do a whole series, actually. We could just say here on these verses, this verse about bring good news to the poor. But we're not going to, not this morning. There's actually the blessing is almost so much more than just the good news that we see in this verse. The good news is beyond just the good news of saving heart of God. Binds up the brokenhearted. And I got to thinking about what binding was, the image of bandaging up a wound. Something being healed, something being made complete, something about wholeness. And in the Hebrew, shout out Danny, this image was actually the words were of something completely smashed. That's the image of what God, the blessing of God, wants to do for our broken hearts this morning. And what is that broken heart? It's something that causes us deep distress for whatever reason. I wonder if that's grief this morning, or maybe that's around finances, or broken relationships, or difficult work life. What is making us deeply distressed? something about acknowledging that God wants to bless us and bind that feeling in us. Let him reach in and heal us. Goes on to talk about freedom for the captives. In this room, we aren't really imprisoned, are we? Maybe not by the earthly things in that we're shut in a jail, but what about those things that do hold us captive? Take away our power to act, or our right to say something, or our ability to change. And I just feel like this freedom for the captives is just linked with the release from darkness. Moving away from darkness, moving away from those things that negatively might hold us. I was thinking about two examples that came to mind: oppression through ill health. How that feels burdensome to us, that feels dark to us, especially if it's our mental health. And the second example I was thinking about was in abusive or controlling relationships. And the blessing here is release from the darkness. Well, if there's release from the darkness, something else has to be present, doesn't it? And that's light. And so the blessing is that the giver of life, the giver of light, is given to us. We need to move away, I guess, from the dark stuff and allow Jesus' light to just come in. It talks about a blessing of comfort for all who mourn, say this lightly, in this season in our church family. Fits with Jesus' words on the beautiful attitudes on the Sermon of the Mount, doesn't it? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There's no question about this. There is comfort of blessing from God the Father. And continuing in that theme of what there is for those that mourn, there's beauty instead of ashes. So the custom of sackcloth and ashes, I think we've talked about before, a sign of expressing loss or grief, the ashes. And that might be over like a traumatic situation. Tamar covered herself with ashes after she was raped. What about Mordecai put on sackcloth and ashes when the edict came out from the king to kill all the Jews? He was in mourning for the people. And in Jonah, we read about the people covering themselves in ashes, in a sign of repentance to God. So we may not have this covering ourselves with ashes now, but I think there's truly a sense of comeback, and we know what that is. A good in the middle of bad stuff. That's how I read this verse. A beauty instead of ashes. And just notice what it says. It doesn't say beauty for ashes. It's making beauty out of ashes. It's a replacing beauty for ashes. So the ashes have gone. And I was thinking about that verse in Corinthians when it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, then the old has gone and the new has come. So as well as comfort, as well as beauty, there's also an oil of joy and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Or as the Hebrew puts it, a faint spirit. I wonder if anyone feels like that, like a sense of heaviness, like a light, the lamp that's going to be going out. Hear these words. God wants to give us a garment of praise in that time. Even in the worst times, God wants to give us a garment of praise, a blessing, a gift. And we are called oaks of righteousness in verse 3, planted by God, under his care, his nurture, his feeding. And so this massive tree, there's got to be something in that. There's got to be a sign of massive life. I wonder what we feel like we're growing into, as John asked. But it's all for, as the verse says, the display of the Lord's splendour. So there are loads of blessings here, and I kind of just have stuck to the first three verses. But actually later on in verse 6, it talks about being priests, being named ministers. Actually, there's an honouring of us. There's a blessing of honour on us. There's a blessing of shame gone, of disgrace gone, and being rejoicing instead in verse 7, it talks about. And you know, it's not just in the moment, it's an everlasting thing. Just look at that at the bottom of verse 7. It's a blessing of everlasting joy. And just moving on in terms of thinking about how God wants to join with us. It talks about here about him making a covenant with us. God wants to work out his plans, his purposes out with us, hand in hand with us. We're part of that. Isn't that a fabulous thing? And the blessing is for those around us as well. There's a blessing in verse 9 that all around us will see that we are blessed. The power of the Spirit in our lives and in our service of God. So all of these things, I wonder, it just feels a bit massive, doesn't it? All of these things. And maybe there's just one of those blessings that God wants you to hear afresh this morning. I pray that he would do that. But actually, I think there's a bigger picture here as well, which is, remember those pots and pans and the jars in the washing up bowl? When the tap's still on and all the blessing comes in, what happens when all the cups are over full? It all spills over, doesn't it? And I think there's something really intriguing about the fact that Jesus says these words, and it's Jesus' mission statement. Therefore, it's Jesus' mission statement, so should it be our mission statement too. So I was thinking about what does that overflow to others? I just don't want us to miss this before I go on to the overflowing vessels to others. That in verse 10, that there is an automatic blessing outpoured to God. It's not just kept for ourselves. It is God that delights in God. That's an outpouring of the blessing on us, and then so we pour it out again to God. So Jesus' mission statement. Often I think we talk about the good news of Jesus, and what do we mean by that? Well, I think we talk about it, well, in some sense it's just about the salvation bit of it, the saving of people from God's love. And it says about it being to the poor. And I was thinking, well, is this poor because of sin? Is that just it? Is it poor because poor in spirit? Or actually was Jesus talking about the poor, the poverty poor, and saying, actually, I've got good news for you. You're not going to stay in this place. And the good news is also about binding up the brokenhearted. So I just wonder, what does that mean for how we treat others? I guess it's about bringing kindness and compassion. And who are the deeply distressed in our communities? How might we reach out in the Spirit's power to help with healing? I thought about New Hope. And actually, they're proactively working to bind wounds, aren't they? But actually, for us, maybe it's just about the sense of bringing the love of God and allowing the Spirit to do his healing work. Proclaiming freedom for the captive. So who are the captives, I asked myself? So many questions, sorry. I guess in the time of Isaiah, these were exiles, people outside. And actually, there is something about those who are actually slaves, a sense of restoration for all people, for all equal rights. So that it has to be relevant for us now in our society, just as maybe we can got slaves. Well, we do have slaves, actually, because we have women and children that are sex trafficked. So we do have slaves in our world still. How this good news of Jesus is proclaiming freedom. How do we do that for the people that we come in contact with? How do we do that as individuals? How do we do that as a church? Release from darkness for the prisoners. I was thinking about with the freedom and the for the captives. Who are the prisoners? again, just this sense of actually we aren't the source of the light, but actually we have to remember that Jesus does live in us. Therefore, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Therefore, we are bringing light to people. I think we underestimate the influence and the power of that. And what I guess for ourselves, just for me, sometimes it's easy for me at work. Maybe easier for me at work than other people at work. And for those of you that don't know what I'm doing, I'm a GP. And I tell you, there's an awful lot of rubbish in people's lives. And I sometimes have nothing to bring as a GP, genuinely. Basically, what I can bring, I hope, is Jesus in me, and they don't know it's Jesus, but actually there's something about kindness and compassion reaching out. And actually, just because I'm a GP doesn't mean to say you don't come across people that have rubbish in their lives. And actually, we still have that light to bring. Proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. So there's reference in various things I read to about Leviticus 25 and the concept that this was a time if you'd leased out land that everything was evened out and you got all your land back to you. If you were a slave, you were allowed to go free. But I think this sense of wrongs being made right. And I think that for me is where I've landed on about this verse. Speaks of love and wholeness in the world as God intended it to be. In the Hebrew, it talks about the year of the Lord's will. So I'm kind of with Jonathan, that probably is every year, isn't it? And in Greek, it talks about the acceptable year of the Lord. So the sense of wrongs being made right, that is what God's will surely has to be. So in Luke, when you read it, he then just stops talking. That's the only bit he says. And then he stops. He doesn't go on to say the rest of Isaiah 61. I don't know why that is, to be honest. And I don't think I've come across why that is. I don't know why that is. But what I do know is that Jesus wanted to refer to these verses as his good news, his mission statement, and therefore it should be ours. It talks about the comforting those who mourn, and at the start of verse 3 it also says something, provide for those who grieve as well. So I just feel like there's something sense about a practical comfort as well as an emotional comfort. And you know, I feel like as a church family, we do that. We do that really well. Let's keep on doing that really well. Are we a people that crowns people with beauty instead of ashes? Are we a people that thinks about rejoicing and putting on garments of praise in spirits instead of spirits of despair? I just was overwhelmed by this, I have to say. I thought, oh my word, I can't do that. Even if I'm an outflowing cup, I can't put on the oil of rejoicing on somebody else, can I, in their mourning? I can't put on a spirit of praise. But I guess I think I know that we all have testimony of times when we felt in a bad place, and there's somebody alongside us that has sung rejoicing, that has spoken words of praise. And even though we don't necessarily feel it ourselves, our family, our church family, our brothers and sisters are there with us doing that alongside us. Oaks of righteousness. Where are we planted? This kind of goes back to Andy's thing of sense of ministry. In our family, it's no mistake that we're in the families that we're in, is it? How are we oaks of righteousness, glorifying God in those places, in our neighbourhoods, in the daily activities that we do, when we go to the shop, do we do our shopping, or we come out the front door and walk around the block and meet the same people walking the dog? Who are those people? How can we be those, for the splendour of God to those people? We can be a people who build, restore and renew, as it talks about in verse 4. We kind of need to recognise who those people are and the places that need renewing, restoring and refreshing to be able to do that, I think. And maybe that's what we should be praying for. God, who is it as a church? Who is it that we need to be reaching out for? Who needs renewing, restoring, rebuilding? And in verse 5, it talks about that actually this place is a place of a foreigner and an alien. This is for all people in our community, not just the ones that look like us or sound like us. So to finish, just feel like through Isaiah 61, the Lord wants to bless us. Can we really, truly accept this and receive this morning? If you're struggling with that, Jan and I are going to be praying in the corner. And you know, it can be prayer ministry. Or actually, if you just feel like, do you know what? Just want to receive a simple blessing this morning. Please come. We'd love to just bless you this morning. And I think it's a really bewildering thought, isn't it, that God wants to partner with us, join in with working his purposes out. But if it's Jesus' mission statement, surely we are his ambassadors. Therefore, how do we bring his blessing to others? How do we make Jesus' mission statement our own? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the riches that are in this passage. We thank you for the riches that we see, and we pray that we may receive the blessings that you have shown us here. But Lord, I pray that you'd be also be stirring our hearts on how we can bless others. What does that look like for us as individuals and for us as a church, Lord? We are filled to then give, blessed to then bless, Lord. Give us a vision of what that may look like. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. So we have, there's a blessing of drinks and tea, coffee and fellowship afterwards. There's a blessing of something that you're going to get a card each as you leave the building. And then finally, to just finish our service, we wanted to play this song, The Blessing. This came out at the start of the pandemic, really. And we just wanted to have song play over us and hear the words receiving of blessing, but then it also talks about him going before us, being behind us. There's an activeness to it as we go out as well.